The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha, this Parsha is Vayero. The beginning of the Parsha, Torah tells us about a subject that we've spoken about many times before. We're not going to speak about that at this point, but it's relevant to what the topic of the shir is on. It speaks about the visiting of the malochim, of the angels, to Avram and to Sarah, to announce to them that in the following year they will have a son. And in this episode, we learn many great shiroshim, many great foundations for the mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed. Achnosas Orchim, welcoming of wayfarers. Al Avraham took care of the guests. And this was Avraham Avinu. He was known as the Amud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed, of loving kindness, which he taught to the world. And the Gemara brings in Perek HaPoalim in Masechet Bav Metzia many halachas, laws that we learn from here in regards to Chesed, and how these acts of Chesed that Abraham performed stood by Klal Yisrael for generations. Now, immediately following this parsha, we have the parsha of Zdeim Vamora, where the Torah tells us that the angels got up to leave, and they looked towards Zdom, and then Abraham said, Hashem said, "Vayimar Hashem zakas deim v'amora ki rovo, v'chatosim ki chovdu mi'od." The cries of Sodom v'amora are many, and their sins are very, very heavy. And I'm going to see what's going on there. And if it's true what I hear, then I'm going to destroy these cities. There were actually five cities in that vicinity. But I must tell Abraham first what I'm going to do. And we have the whole debate between Abraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Abraham tries to save Sodom v'Amora. Maybe there are 50 righteous people, maybe there are 40, and so forth. Finally, he's not successful, and the Malochim come to Zdaim. There they stay by Abraham's nephew Lot, and they save Lot because of the schus, the merit of Abraham, and they destroy Sodom v'Amora. Now, we can ask, what does this parsha have to do with the first parsha? These sages always darshan smuchim. If there are two parshas right next to each other, there must be some relationship between them. What relationship does the parsha of Sodom v'Amora have to do with the first parsha in the Sedra, the first topic of the angels coming to visit Abraham, and Abraham's Gemilas Chesed, his great Chesed? It, we could answer this simply with one of two answers. We could say, firstly, the same angels that came, three, to tell Abraham and Sarah of the coming of a son. So then, two of them went onward to stone Gomorrah, one to destroy the city and one to save Lot. So this was in the same journey. Or perhaps we could say, again, it's showing the great chesed of Abraham. He had such great chesed. It reached out to everyone, even to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He went and he waged a war of words with the Almighty to save these cities. So perhaps that's the relationship. But perhaps there's a deeper relationship between the two parshas. Now, with this episode of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have a number of questions. The Torah tells us in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Perek Yud Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel, the Anshei Sodom Roim Vechatoim Lashem Me'od. The people of Sodom were very evil, very sinful to Hashem exceedingly. We see that they were very evil people. It states Me'od. I once heard in general from my Rebbe, Ramat Chai Gifter, tells the Rosh Hashiva, that the word Me'od refers to something which you cannot give a measure to. Because if you could give a measure to it, so then you would give that measure. If we want to say that someone is like this, we would say how much. If we say he's like this ma'od, that's an expression where we cannot really give a measure to it. So it states they were chatoim, roim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od. They were not only sinful and evil to Hashem, but ma'od, beyond measure. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Tes Omer Aleph tells us, "Anshei Sodom ein lam chelek le'olam habo." The people of Sodom have no portion in the world to come. It states, "Roim vechatoim, roim ba'olam hazeh, evil in this world, chatoim, sinful, lacking in the world to come." Omer Yehuda, "Roim begufam vechatoim b'mamainam." They were evil with their bodies, and they were sinful with their material possessions. The Gemara goes further and states, "Rabbi Shvichas Domim Gilarayis Ubirches Hashem." They were sinful with murder, spilling the blood, adultery and incest, all types of acts of immorality, and Birches Hashem Kefir Beikar, where they denied the existence of the Almighty. And the Gemara brings a number of stories of just how evil they were. They were very brutal and they were very cruel. It states that they were so mean that they would never give anything to anyone. The Torah later on tells us that when Lot was saved, so his wife turned back, and she looked back at the destruction. The angels told her not to, and she became the Netziv Melech. She turned into a pillar of salt. She was told not to look back because she was no better than them. She also shouldn't have been saved. Actually, Lot also. But they were only saved in the schus and the merit of Abraham. So they were not supposed to see the destruction of the other people. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? Because it states she was chotah b'melech. Salt was an enormous delicacy in those times. And Lot was a rosho. He was an evil man, the Torah tells us. But
He had some chesed in him. This he learned from the house of Avraham. Like we see that when the angels came, he right away opened his doors to them. See? Learned this from Avraham. So when he came to Sodom, a guest would come. He used to tell his wife, give him a little salt. If you see, there was in ancient times, many times they had salt holders that had locks, little keys and locks on them. So he would say, give the person a little salt. So she said, Afa minig hara hazeh, even this evil practice you are bringing to this city. In other words, to give salt to someone. Salt is so precious. And this is why she was turned into salt. The Gemara tells us that not only they would never give anything to anyone, but they couldn't tolerate anyone else giving anything to anyone. Tells us two stories, many, but two of them. One is when an oni, a poor man, used to come and he used to beg for money. And they felt they had to give him something. So everyone would give him a coin, but everyone would write his name on the coin. When the man went to spend the money, the shopkeepers, this was the law, were not allowed to accept those coins. So eventually the poor man would die of starvation. He couldn't buy anything with it. Then they would all go and take their coins back. Here it states that Hashem says that let me go down. He hears the cries of Sodom and Amorah. Ki robo chatosum ki chovdo me'ed. The word robo means many. The Gemara darshans, Rashi brings part of it. Al iske riva achas. There was one case in particular that the Almighty wanted to see if it was true. And that was a riva achas, a young maiden. A poor man came, and a young maiden who had some rachmonas, so she gave him something to eat. They took her, they tied her up, they covered her in honey, and they put her in a place where the bees will come, and the bees devoured her. See, these were the cries HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard. So it was to the ultimate of evil and brutality and cruelty. Now, the Maral writes in the Siv Achesed Perikei, he says they were worse than the Dor HaMabul, than the generation of the great flood. And we see their punishment was worse. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought punishment on in that generation, it states first it was Gishomim, rain. Then it turned into a flood. And the sages say, first he brought rain, which is good for the world. And he was hoping they would do tshuva. Had they repented, it would have been a good rainstorm. They didn't repent, he brought the flood. Here we see that was rained down upon them gofris, eish v'gofris, fire, lava, sulfur. This was a total destruction of them, which from here we can get an insight. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings an appropriate punishment to what they were. They were to the tachlis, to the ultimate of evil. And that's why he writes that wherever the Torah wants to give an example of a total destruction, it says kema pechas stein va'amora, like the total annihilation, destruction of stein va'amora. Now, with this little overview of the Anshei Sodom, the people of those cities, we can ask, how did they come to this? How did these people come to such a madrega, such a level in evil, such cruelty and brutality, and even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, than the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood? Another question we can ask. In this Parshas Lech Lecha, not in Vayera, but in last week's Parshas Lech Lecha, where we just quoted Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel, right before that it states that there was a reeve, a quarrel between Rei Avraham and Rei Lot, the shepherds of Avraham and the shepherds of Lot. They were quarreling over the land, over the grazing lands. Avraham was a man of peace. And from reeve, from quarrel, comes no good. So he said, "Am nosi bariva bein yir bein echa, bein raya bein reecha, ki anoshim achim anochnu. Why should we quarrel? We are brothers. Hare kolo ores lefanecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us all of this land. Storm Bamora, this was part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I must tell Avraham what I'm going to do. He parted no me olai. Let's spread out, separate. You go one way and I'll go another way, so there'll be enough land for everyone and we won't have to quarrel." So Lot wanted to, was wondering where should he go. Lot gazed around and he saw the whole valley, the Jordan Valley. Kihula Mashke, it was lush. It was full of water. Before Hashem destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Kigan Hashem, it was like the garden of Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, like Mitzrayim. Egypt was known at that time as the most beautiful land in the world, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Boachot Se'ar. V'yivchar lo late es kol kikar ha'yarden. So Lot decided he'll go there. He separated himself from Abraham and they went their own ways. Now, how could Lot choose to go to such evil people? And maybe you'll say he didn't know it. Immediately afterwards, the Torah tells us, immediately afterwards, to tell us that Lot knew exactly who was there. And still he chose to go there. How could he do that? It's another question. Another question. Sometimes we see people come from very uncivilized places, from barren places. Or let's say they come from deserts, or they live in the far islands of the sea. Northern tribes, the barbarians, and they become like people like that, say, uncivilized barbarians. Sodom and Gomorrah, they came from the most beautiful place in the world. The Torah testifies it to this. And he saw the whole Jordan Valley, Kikula Mashka. It was all green and fertile before Hashem destroyed it. It was as beautiful as Egypt. So these were not people that were coming from the slums or from the backwoods. So how is it that such people fell to the depths of such cruelty? Then we have another question, very strong question. We have a Mishnah in Masechet Ovis. Mishnah is in Perikei Mishnah Yud. The Mishnah tells us that there are four different types of people. And Arba Midas Ba'odam, four different types of people when it comes to sharing possessions. It says a chosid is someone who says, what is mine is yours, and what is yours, that's a chosid. He says, what is yours, I don't want anything from you. And anything you need from me, I'll give you. See, that's a chosid. A rosha, that's a hijacker. He says, what is mine, and what is mine. It's rosha. Now, there was once a famous police commissioner in America. He says, this is the criminal psyche. He holds everything of his is his, and everything of yours is his. Therefore, he has a right to it. That the Mishnah says is rosha. So, roshali, vishalishali. What is mine is mine, and what is yours is mine. All right. Then it states, Aim shali shali u shalcho shalcho. What happens if a person says, what is mine, and what is yours, so one opinion is, that's mida beinonis. That's middle of the road. What's mine is mine, and what is yours. Yesh aimrim zu mida zedayim. But some say, this is the quality of the people of Zedayim. What is mine, and what is yours. This is a great question, a great puzzle. What is mine, and what is yours. What's so evil about that? He doesn't take anything from someone else. It states, this is Midas Dom. This is the quality of Dom. The quality of Dom, they went and they came to Shvichas Domin, to murder, to brutality, to cruelty, to incest and adultery, to Birchas Hashem, to denying Hashem. So if they say what is mine, and what is yours, this is the quality of Sodom. And then further, a further question on this, it's Yodua in Mefurshim, in the Shas, is well known in the Gemara. But the Gemara says a klal, it says a principle. Wherever there's benefit for one party, and for the other party there is no loss whatsoever, then you have to allow that other person to have that benefit if there's no loss to you whatsoever. This is called Zenanev Zedochasar, benefit to him and no loss to me. And the Gemara says, if you don't, Zui Mid Zdaim. This is the quality of the people of Zdaim. And the Gemara says further, Kefi no Midas Dayim. And we even force, the courts have a right to force you, in many circumstances, to allow someone to have benefit from you, where there's no loss to you. Kefi no Midas Dayim. So the Gemara in Bar Mitzi and Kuf Ches, Bar Basar Yud Beis, and Ksubis and Kuf Gimel, Rambam's says as follows in Perek Yud Beis of Shechinim, Klala Shel Dover. He says this is the general principle. Kol Dover Shul Teiv Lezeh. Whatever is good for someone else, Ve'ein Al Chavere Hefsid Klau, and for the other one there is no loss whatsoever. Kefin Esei La'asisa. Then courts have a right to force him to do this. This is what is known as Kefin Al Midas Dayim. An example, Mora brings. If you have two brothers that inherit a piece of property, and we want to divide the property into two, the north side of the field, north side of the field, or the south side of the field, and one brother already has something on the north side of the field, so he says, "Give me the northern part, because to me it'll be a greater benefit than to you, because now I'll be able to expand my fields, they'll be adjacent to each other. While the south side is no difference to you than the north side, they are exactly the same. If they're not exactly the same, then he cannot do that. But in the case where they're exactly the same, so what's the difference to you if you take the north side or the south side? It's the same thing. But to me it's a great difference, because I already have a field on the north side, so I'll be able to expand it and make it adjacent. And the other person says, no, 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 I don't want to do that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the North Field, but I'm gonna give me some money for it. I want to extort a little extra money. And that, the Gemara says, is Midas Daim, because it's their name of Zele Chosar. He can benefit and you don't lose. To him it's a benefit, the North Field. To you there's no difference between the North and the South. Be kafin al Midas Daim, as long as there's no difference between the fields. Even that there's a discussion in the Gemara that's only based on the fact that there could be a difference between the fields. Another example, Bar Metzra. The Gemara brings in the Rambam. If you sell something, if you're selling a field, or you're selling a building, see, and you have a tenant in the building, and you get a buyer. Buyer offers you 500,000 rand for the building. And the tenant says, look, I'll match the price. You're obligated to sell to him. Okay. Because to you there's no difference. You're getting your 500,000 rand either way. If the other person offers more, then to me there's a loss. But if you're going to get your market price anyhow, to the tenant is far more benefit to the other person because he's already here. Or if you're selling a field or a building and there's a next door neighbor and he's interested in it because he wants to expand, and I get an offer from someone out in the marketplace and he says, I'll match it. This is the din of kafin al midas daim. This is bar metzra, where you have to sell to that person, otherwise you are conducting yourself in the way of the people of the day. This is what the Gemara tells us. Now, this we can ask the same question. These were the qualities of the day. Where, over there, what is he doing wrong? It's his building. If we would go with the technicality of the law, he could say, it's my building, it's my field, I have a right to sell it to whoever I want. That's why the Gemara doesn't say that Mitzar Hadin, from the aspect of the law, he cannot sell it. The Gemara says he cannot sell it because this is the conduct of the people of Sdom. But if we would go with the technicalities of the law, he could say, my money, I'm allowed to do with what I want with it. So this seems to be quoting very mildly the quality of the people of Zdain. Here we see they came to the ultimate in cruelty. The explanation to this is very deep. And this the Maral tells us in the Mesiva Chesed. What we're referring to here, these cases that we quoted from the Mishnah and others, Shali Shali Shalcho Shalcho, what's mine is mine, is what's yours is yours. Or this case here, of where I refuse to give you something or sell you something, even though to me there's no loss and to you there's a benefit. Actually, what is he doing? He's been mamido as Dvorov al-Din Teira. He's going after the basic legal right. That's what he's saying. I have the legal right. Same thing, shali shali, shalcho shalcho. What am I saying? I'm saying, what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine. This is my legal right. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying this is my legal right? There's a Gemara that says, Lechor v'yushalayim el ha-shamidu es divreihem al-din Torah. Or, I believe it's in Yuma. It says, one of the reasons why Yushalayim was destroyed, because ha-shamidu es divreihem al-din Torah, because the masses started to conduct themselves in accordance with the technicalities of the law. They said, this is my legal right, and therefore I am not giving more than that. So now we see, I mean, we would think that what's the matter with Abidu Kol Divrei Maldin Torah? Something wrong with the, something wrong with demanding something which is not your legal right. But to demand what's your legal right, I have a right to. What should be wrong with that? And that's what we're calling Midas Daim, the ways of the people of Zdaim. From here we see it's not all kosher. The state lo chorve Yushalayim ela shamiduk called divrehem al din Torah. Yushalayim was destroyed because the people demanded in total their legal rights. Now, what is the explanation of this? It says follows. There are three levels, which we mentioned before. One is Din. Din is law and justice. One is Rachamim. It's compassion and mercy. One is Chesed. Chesed is generosity and kindliness. These are three levels, one after the other. Din is the perfect uprightness, the yosher, not to the right and not to the left, not more or not less. When you come to a court of law, you expect the judge to render judgment in accordance to the law, not more and not less, not to the right and not to the left. And this is the halacha. Judges, this is what the judge has to do. That's why it's called rendering a decision of law, a legal decision. In the words of the Gemara, is called Chatichas Adin, or Psak, Psikas Adin, which means to cut. Chaticho, Pesek means to cut. Because the judgment has to be like a knife. Just like the knife must cut perfectly straight, right where it has to cut, that has to be the judgment. What is Reuven's must be Reuven's. What is Shimon's, what must be Shimon's. Judge has no right whatsoever to say, look, we'll cut the cake a little in Shimon's favor. Give Shimon a little of Reuven's. Or we'll cut the cake a little to the other side to give Reuven a little of Shimon's. No, that's why it's called the Bez Din. That's not Din. See, Din is the Chatichas HaDin. Right where the law falls, that's where it has to be cut. Not to the right, not to the left, not more, not less. This is Din. This is why when you come to a court, the balei dinim, the litigants, what do? They come with their tainus hashkuyas. They come to with their claims of rights. The king come to the judge and say, have mercy, have compassion. Give me some of his cake. They come with the claims of rights. This is my right. The other one says, this is my right. The judge has to see who has the right and determine accordingly. That's your first level. Now you have another level. That's called Rachamim. Rachamim, compassion, that's where we go lifnim mishuras hadin. We bend the law a bit. We go beyond the law. Now, must make this very clear. You want to go beyond the law, you have to do it with your own money, not with someone else's money. That's why a judge is not allowed to do this, because he's dealing with other people's money. See? But your own money. When it comes to my money, if I say that it's mine, and this is my right, this is din. Din mishpat. This is justice. But what happens if the other person doesn't have what to eat? What happens if he doesn't have any clothing to wear? What happens if he's sick and he needs an operation and he has no money? I can still say, sorry, it's my money. That's Dinu Mishpat. But we have another midah, another quality of rahamim, of mercy and compassion. I can say, look, it's my money, but I want to help you. Here, take some of it. Take some of the money and go buy yourself some clothing. Take some money and buy yourself something to eat. Here, here's 10,000 rand. Pay for the operation. That is midas harachamim. Again, you can do that with your own money. A judge can't do that. I can't do that with Shimon's money. I can't say, Shimon, it's your money, but I'm going to take 10,000 rand of it because I want you to have compassion. See, you want to have compassion, you do it with your own money, not with someone else's money. All right? Now, that's what is known as going beyond the deen. Lifnim mishuras ha-deen, rachamim, and that's what we call stoka. Stoka is where is not the deen. It's my money. You can't say that the deen requires I give my money to you, but rachamim, compassion, requires that I give my money to you. That's lifnim mishuras ha-deen. That's rachamim. Now, we have a third level. The third level is chesed. Chesed is where you want to give, you want to go beyond the law, lifnim mishuras ha-deen, you want to give what's yours to the other person, even though it's not required because of rachamim, because of compassion and mercy. For example, the other person is not in difficult circumstances. He's not, heaven forbid, a victim of crime or a victim of a traffic accident that he needs help. He's a wealthy person. He's got money. But I want to do good for him. I want to do something for him. So I decide, I figure, what would he appreciate? And I buy him something. That's chesed. That's why the Mishnah says, Gidela gemilas chesed mitzdoka. Chesed is greater than stoka, because stoka is to the anim. Stoka you can only do to the poor. You can give charity to the wealthy. But chesed is bein l'anim, bein l'ashirim. Chesed, kindliness, you can give to everyone. Now, what is the motivation for that? Here, according to the legality, the basic law, the essence of law, it's mine, my money. There's no requirement from the aspect of compassion and mercy to give it to someone else. And still you want to give it to someone else. Still you want to help someone with it. What is the motivation for that? The motivation for that is the goodness of your heart. Like many times we say, he gives it from the goodness of his heart. The motivation of that, the Maral calls the Etzem HaTov, the Teva Gomor. A person who does things from chesed is because he has so much goodness in him, he must share it with others. This is chesed. Person who's always trying to be meitiv achirim, he's trying to do goodness for other people, not only for someone who's in dire straits, but he wants to do goodness for everyone. This is chesed. This is the highest form of lifnim mishuras ha-deen. Now, from all of this, we see a great chidush. We see something very unique. We see to be maimid, called Dvorov, al-din Torah, someone who conducts himself all of the time with the basic essence of law, of rights. His whole dealings is only what's my right and what's your right. It's not such a good thing. We would think it's good. We think a crook is someone who wants to take your rights away from you. But halavai, he should stick to what's right. But here we see it's not such a good thing all the time. because he is lacking in his life rachamim, compassion and mercy. And he is lacking in his life chesed, which is tov. What has he done? A person whose whole conduct centers around my rights and your rights, he has built a world for himself that is void of all goodness, void of all compassion. He has built for himself a world which is based merely on Dina Mishpat. This is a dangerous path. Why? First of all, besides the fact that he creates for himself this type of world that's void from goodness and that's void from chesed and achamim, he's creating for himself a world that's contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world. Because the sages tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world, the motivation and intent was that of chesed. Why did Hashem bother to create a world? What did he need it for? It states he created the world kedei lehaitiv es habriyos, in order to bring goodness to the people. He created a world to give them an opportunity to do mitzvahs, to acquire reward, in order that he could give them this reward in the end. The motivation was chesed. That's why David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Amati Olam Chesed Yibameh. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will build a world which is motivated by chesed. Secondly, the Torah tells us that when he created the world, in the beginning it starts, it always uses the word Elohim. Bereshis bara Elohim, es ha-shomayim es ha-oretz. Elohim always refers to Zu Bezdin, that refers to the Mishpat, the basic right and wrong. In Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Dalet, after the 7 days of creation, the Torah goes back to the first day, and it states, Eilu told us HaShemayim Va'oretz Bibarom. These are the works of the Shemayim Va'oretz, of the heaven and the earth when he created them. Biyayim, on that day, so if going back to the first day, Aseis Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shomayim, where Hashem made the world, and there it brings two names of Hashem. One, it brings the Shem Havaya, Yudkei Bovkei, and the other brings Elokim. The Shem Havaya generally refers to rachamim, to compassion. So why does it change there? The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did have a thought of creating the world with din and mishpat, that it would run along the strict lines and adherence to right and wrong. But he saw that that would not exist. A world could not exist with that. Therefore, shitof imai, rachamim. Therefore, he incorporated in the creation of the world from day one rachamim also. That it has to be a world that will run along lines of right and wrong, strict legality, and compassion. Otherwise, it will not exist. So what do we see? We see that Hashem himself is chesed. This was his first motivation to create the world. We see the creation of the world had to have incorporated in it rachamim, compassion. Otherwise it won't last. If a person conducts all of his dealings, all of his affairs with people, along the strict lines of the law of rights, he is distancing himself from the level of Hashem and from the level of creation. The Medrash's lotion is Medrash Rabbah Perek Yud Beis Roa Kodesh Baruch Hu Sheina Tachtonim Yecholim Lamei Bedin. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that this world would not be able to exist in accordance to the strict parameters of law. Therefore, he incorporated the quality of compassion also. So now, we see. Now, one other point. There's another great difference between the deen and between the rachamim and chesed. Deen is where you're always claiming what is yours. You're not claiming what is someone else's, but you're always claiming what is yours. You're never giving anything in deen. Deen you never give. You claim what's mine. This that I give you what's yours, that's not giving. It belongs to the other person. So that's not giving. That's you're not stealing it from him. But in deen you never give. See? You say, this is my property, this is my money, so I'm taking. What's yours is yours. That's the shali shali shalcha shalcha. What is mine is mine, and what is yours is yours. Rachamim is what you're giving. It's mine, but I want to give it to you. Chesed is even more what you're giving. It's mine, and you don't even need it, but I still want to give it to you. These are the qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be a recipient. He can't give. No one can give to him. He can't be the recipient. He's the giver. He's the creator. So now what do we have? It comes out like this. The people of Sodom, their initial fate, their initial quality was that what the sages tell us, Shali Shali Shalcho Shalcho. What is mine is mine, what is yours, take what is yours and I will take what is mine. Hamidu kol dvorav al midas hadin. They wanted everything to be run according in adherence to the strict interpretation of the law. With this, they built for themselves a world that was void from any compassion, because compassion is where you've got to go beyond the strict adherence of the law. Void from any chesed, any goodness, because that's where you go beyond the strict adherence to the law. Void of any giving, because shali shali shalcho shalcho, what is mine is mine, what is yours, that's building a life on a philosophy of taking. This is mine, I'm going to take it, not in giving. Void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world like that. He is the essence of goodness. He's the essence of generosity. He's the essence of compassion. He's the essence of giving. Void of the Maisa Bereishis of the creation. They represented Churban, destruction. From there, the Maral says, where does that philosophy bring one? If a person's whole philosophy, if his whole life's motif is on hanging on what is mine, hanging on what is mine, never giving an inch from your territory, then a person is going to become constantly only a taker. And he'll start giving his life for that. And he'll start fighting for that. And eventually he'll start taking even what's not his, if this becomes his whole life. and he'll go mato moto further and further and further. He will not be able to tolerate other people who give. This was the quality of Shteim Va'amora until they came to kol minei ro'ah sheba'ilam, to the lowest levels of evil in the world, because they had built for themselves a world without compassion, without goodness, without rachamim, without chesed. Where did it come from? It's interesting. The Gemara says, where does it come from? Where did it come from? What led them in this way? Why did they think up of such a philosophy? We asked the question. We said, if they were coming from the backwoods, if they were coming from the deserts, let's say some Cossacks, wild tribes living in the desert, okay. They were coming from a beautiful, cultured, cultivated land. The Gemara says that itself was their downfall. It states, Anshezdaim leinizgoe elebishvil reiv teve shehishpil lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anshezdaim came to this because their land was so beautiful and wealthy. Omru, they said, v'chimeache she'eretz mimenu yotzu lechem, that since from our land comes bread, from our land comes water, from our land comes everything we need. Lama lama evri drachim. What do we need other people coming here for? She'en boin oleinu ela lechasreinu memeinenu. They're only coming to take from us. Bo'u v'nishkach regel me'atzeinu. Let us go and close our doors and not let anyone else in. In politics, this is known as a policy of isolationism. They became the prime isolationists. Who becomes an isolationist? The country that needs from someone else, he's against isolationism. It's the country that is totally independent of everyone else. They say, what do we need anyone else for? Let's break off ties with everyone. What do we need? Countries form political ties with other people for common interests, for games. We have nothing that we need from others. We have nothing we can gain from them. If they'll come here, they come to take from us. Because they had such a wealthy land and a rich land, so they said, let's cut off ties from everyone. And let's tell them, listen here, Shali Shali Shalcho Shalcho, keep what you have, we don't need it, and we will keep what we have. And from here they built an isolationist policy, and from here they built a policy that we will be maimid voreinu aladin. We will go after the strict interpretation of the law. Rights. What is mine is mine. What is yours is yours. And they built for themselves this world which had no compassion or goodness. From here we can understand now why it states lo chorvu Yerushalayim Ela Shahmi Hamidu called Vorav al Din Teira. Yerushalayim was destroyed, one of the reasons, because people started to say on everything, I want a Din Torah. I want to go according to the Din. If it's mine, it's mine. If it's yours, it's yours. And no one was a Mabatir. No one would say, look, what do we have to go to a Din Teira for? What do we have to quarrel over everything? Take it and finished. See. So even if it is mine, I give it to you. Finished. They lost that power. And everything was a fight. Everything was din Torah. See? If it's mine, it's mine. I'm not giving it to you. What quality is that? That's the quality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the world couldn't exist with. Sometimes you have to have compassion with your money. Sometimes you have to show chesed with your money, generosity. See, don't count it so carefully, give them a little extra. If that's the case, if this is the world, that this was their conduct, what does this bring? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ro'ah she'ena tachtenim yechem lamed bo. He saw that the world cannot exist. There'll be churban, there'll be destruction. That's what happened to Yerushalayim. And that's what happens, Deim Ba'amora. came the ultimate destruction from it. Build a world without goodness, without compassion, there'll be the ultimate destruction. Worse than the Dora Mabel. Because the Dora Mabel, they were plenty evil, but sometimes they had some goodness in them also. Now, we can understand in a deeper vein the Smichas HaParshios. Why does the Torah place this episode with Sodom Amora right after it teaches us the great chesed of Abraham? These two parshas are the antithesis of each. It states by Abraham that for 20 generations HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw he wanted to destroy the world. He brought the flood after 10 generations, and every generation was going down. He wanted to destroy the world until Abraham came into being. He brought goodness to the world. He taught chesed, the Gemara tells us. He taught chesed to the world. It states in the beginning of creation, Vayi Or, Hashem said, let there be light, and he called the sun into being. The Medrash says that was the physical creation. The sun is the source of physical sustenance in the world. But Hashem had in mind another light, the spiritual creation, the spiritual sustenance of the world. That would be another light that would only come to the world 20 generations later. Vayi Or Ze Abraham. That would be Abraham. Abraham was the pillar of goodness, of light in the world, of nourishment in the world. Sodom and Amorah, they were the pillar of destruction in the world. There was never a destruction in the world, that was equal to their destruction. They were the pillar of darkness in the world. Abraham was bringing goodness in the world, they were driving goodness out of their world. And it comes right here because the angels came to reward Abraham. And they came to announce that he will have a son. Abraham and Sarah Chavakas Bain. With this son, Abraham was building the world. He was not capable of building this world until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a son. So with this, he was building a world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to remove Sodom and Amorah from the world, who were bringing total destruction to the world. Then we asked, why did Lot choose to go there? He knew what kind of people lived there. Immediately that Lot went, it states, V'amshei Sodom chamtoim v'roim v'ashem me'ot. The answer is, there's a Chazal that tells us, first of all, the Chazal tells us Lot was a Rosha. He was evil. But secondly, there's a Chazal that tells us, the sages say, it's brought in the Sforim, that Lot was the exact antithesis of Abraham. Therefore, if Abraham's great quality was that of goodness and generosity, the quality of Lot was just the opposite. He went there because that was his type. That was his people. Motzamin es mina. States a person always gravitates to people who are similar. This is why he went there. And right after Lot went, the Torah says, there in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah says, Ba'ashem Omar El Avram Acharei He Poreh Leit Me'imai. Hashem came to Avram after Leit left and separated himself, and he said, Sona Inecho, lift up your eyes, this land I'm going to give you, and I'm going to give you Zarah HaKafar Oretz, and I'm going to give you seed like the sand of the earth. which if someone can count the sand of the earth, they'll be able to count your seed. Now, why did Hashem come to him right after Lot left? So Rashi brings the Chazal, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not bring brachos to Lot as long as to Abraham as long as Lot was with him. Abraham only came into the fullness of the brachos once Lot went away. Then came the creation. Hashem said, "This land will be yours, and you will have seed, ke'afar oretz, like the dust of the earth." A proof that this was the quality of Lot. We find that on two nations, the Torah tells us, Dor Asiri lo yovel bikal Hashem. Even the 10th generation may not marry into the community of Hashem. We find this only with two nations. These are the two nations that were born from Lot. Moab and Ammon. And the Torah says, why? Asher lekimu eschem belechem ubamayim. That when you came out of Egypt and you needed a place to go through and you needed bread and water, and these were your relatives, they came from Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and they were saved only because of the merit of Abraham. Lot was saved. They should have been the first ones to come and help you, and they could not find any goodness in their heart. They said, if you'll come through our land, we will meet you with the sword. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the total antithesis to Abraham. Rambam brings Hatzdoko, Simon Lazerish Abraham, Shal Abraham. Generosity is a sign that he's from the seed of Abraham. If you see someone who's very generous, most likely he's from the seed of Abraham. He says, if you see someone who is not generous, or an ox or cruel, has no compassion, then he says, Yesh Lochus Liachusai. Even if he calls himself a Jew, be suspicious. That's what the Rambam writes. Now here, these nations could not find any compassion or generosity or goodness to come and meet you with bread and water, when they owe their very existence to you, to Abraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they can never come into Klal Yisrael. These were the offsprings of Lot. This was Lot. So that's why Lot chose that place. That was his territory. And now we can understand why the sages tell us, if you have something, you have a piece of land, you have a building, and someone can have some benefit in certain circumstances, and there's no loss whatsoever to you, even though you could claim, but it's my right, it's mine, why do I have to share it with him? I can sell it to who I want. Chazal said that a Jew, Zer Avraham, has to distance himself from the ways of Sodom and Amorah to the ultimate, because they were the antithesis of Abraham. And therefore we will force you not to act in the ways of Sodom and Amorah. So this is a deeper understanding why we find these two parashas together. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to heap reward on Abraham because he was chesed and tzedakah. Like in that parsha, he says, I know that Abraham will teach tzedakah to his children. And he was binyan. Through this, the world was built. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to go to Sodom v'Amorah to see if what I hear is true. If that's the case, then I must totally destroy it, because they are totally opposite opinion of creation, the voidness of all good and compassion. We learn from here a very important principle, which is very relevant. Besides everything else we learn, but we learn a very relevant principle. And you see that the danger is not when a person doesn't have. When a person doesn't have, he's not going to create an isolationist policy. See? He needs other people. So he's not going to become an isolationist. And he's going to appreciate compassion. He'll remember. He should remember. People were compassionate towards him. People were generous towards him. But when you have a situation where a person has everything he needs, lochotu steim v'amora lenisgoya steim v'amora elameirav tov shakoribachu ishpiale steim v'amora came like that because they had everything they needed. This is a great danger in the Western culture, and a great danger we see it all the time. You hear it all the time. People came from overseas. They came from Lithuania and other countries. They had nothing. They had to work themselves up. And they were full with the midah of compassion, the midah of chesed, the midah of tzedakah. There was always, I remember the case where one woman told me, and this is common though, she had her mother living with her for 20 years. And in the end, when finally she had to put her in the old age home, there wasn't a day that she felt that she betrayed her mother. This was after she stayed with her for 20 years, but then for medical reasons had to put her in the old age home. She felt she betrayed her mother. When her children got married, the week after the chasna, they left. See? They left, emigrated. I asked her, would you have done that to your mother? She said, never. And many times people tell me, why is it? And one time a person told me, he says, we grew up with nothing. We were taught how to share, how to give. Our children grew up with everything. One man told me, it's our fault. What do we teach them? We teach them how to take. See, this is what we teach them. Do we teach them how to give? You see so many times the old generation, the stock and the generosity is enormous. The younger generation, they don't offer them it. Says, we teach them how to take. And if you think of it, for example, I mean, you hear stories after stories of people that came here 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. They were working for a living. Not only they were working for a living, 11 years old, 12 years old, working for a living, they were saving up money to bring over the rest of the family from Lithuania. Here, you got someone till 25, 26 years old, he's still going to school, he's going to university. Sometimes parents tell me, look, he deserves the campus experience. Deserves the campus experience. Let him have it. He's 25 years old already, he or she. Then they tell me, look, he's been in school all these years. Deserves a year of traveling. Let him see the world. A year of traveling. Now there's a new thing. Used to be Zionism, in my day, was you went to help build Eretz Israel. That was Zionism. He went to help build up the land. I had a leader once. He was an electrician on a kibbutz. Another one, he went to help fight for the land. This was Zionism. This was Aliyah. Now you look in the advertisements. An experience of a year of touring in Eretz Yisrael. An experience of enjoying Eretz Yisrael for a year. Or this or that. It's the culture where I deserve it. I have it coming. Am I right? What about the culture? What can you give? What can you contribute? Now, my father does that. He gives the money. He gives plenty to the shuls, and he gives to the yeshivas, and he gives to the IUA. See, that's his Eishek. That's not mine. One day, when I'll grow up, I'll be 35, 40 years old, all right. Then I'll talk to the IUA also. See? Something wrong? Something wrong. And this is the danger. These are some of the great principles that we learn from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.